This is the Levels Network. I'm Justin Hordle, joined by the Triple OG, Whitaman Mason. OG, it is round 8 preview time, mate. But before we start the show, some really sad news. We just found out on the way in here about the passing of Terry Hill, mate. You know Terry better than me. I've met Terry a few times. He's a legend of the game.
Legend.
And knowing some people that know him, how are you feeling about it, mate? And I guess, you know, what was your relationship with Terry like?
I had a great relationship with him. He was obviously a little bit older than me. He's about 8 years older than me. But, like, he was that OG sort of bloke that was the king of the trash talk, man. Like, he was one of the greats and one of the great players for Manly, West Tigers, New South Wales, Australia. Achieved everything in the game. One of the real true characters of the game. But, like, legend, dude. Like, all the time, any time I had an interaction with him, it was just high energy and just fucking laughing and joking and stuff like that. So it's a sad day, man. It's a sad day for rugby league because I heard off Mark O'Mealy and Oga played with Terry Hill.
Oh, did he?
You know, back in the Northern Eagles days or something like that, way back in the day. And he said, I heard Terry Hill pass. I said, no way. Yeah. No.
Only 52 years old?
52 years old.
Yeah, that's sad.
And I was in the city with Rennie. It hits different, right?
Yeah.
Because I know him, you know, and I'm 44 years old, and so we always say, like, you know, prioritize health, man.
Yep.
We're at that age, danger zone, man. Like, for any player that's my age or a bit older, in their 40s, high, you know, reaching their 50s, you know, so you got to prioritize health, man. Can just hit you. Apparently, he was just in the Philippines and They were having lunch or breakfast and just bang, heart attack.
Wow.
And gone.
So sad.
Gone. So sad. My condolences and thoughts and prayers out to all his family and everyone who knows Terry Hill. So very sad for rugby league. Very, very sad day.
For the younger audience that might not be aware of Terry, I love Terry as a player growing up. He was part of my old man's vintage. He played during the 90s and all that. So he played 246 games of the New South Wales ARL, NRL era. He had 14 State of Origin matches, had a couple of tours for Australia.
Yep.
And I said this just before we started the show. For me, for the younger audience who might not be aware, I feel like Tony Staggs is a pretty good comp.
Just aggressive.
Aggressive center. Probably didn't have the chirp. Tony doesn't have the chirp.
He's the best talker. He got me, and you couldn't understand Terry.
Yeah.
Because he'd fucking come at you. Yeah. And I remember playing him at Brookie, and I was a young kid, and he fucking lit me so hard. And even when I was in 2000, when he was at the West Tigers.
Yeah.
He hammered me the whole game.
I'd imagine,
and I thought it was fucking hilarious, right?
Yeah. Because
it wasn't personal or anything like that. He was just talking so much shit, and some of the memories that I got with him, it's always been great. So, yeah, he was a beast, man. He was a beast as a player.
I met him a couple of times. One of the best storytellers that I've been around.
Best,
super
top three.
He's
top three. Top three best storyteller of all time.
He's up there. You're up there. You're in the top three with him, for me anyway. But he's right up there. And, you know, I met him at Jared Haynes' wedding. I believe he was Haynes' godfather. So, Haynesy and their family are really going to be feeling it. Manoa and was really close with him. So, at his wedding, I had a good chat to him, and he was telling me a few yarns, about the old ones, boys, mate. And then some X-rated ones
you talk to that. That's what I mean. When I go into these reunions, the New South Wales reunions, I'm always gravitated to the guys that played in the 90s.
Yeah.
Because life was a lot more simpler, and they've got the best stories.
Yeah. Terry Hill to finish off.
Yeah.
Lukey, he has got a fight this weekend, mate. We're looking forward to this. So we're heading up on the weekend. The pay-per-view starts at 4 p.m. on Saturday. So shout out to Isaac Hardman, who will also be in the corner with Lukey looking after him.
Man.
The pay-per-view link will be below. So the fights include commentating from the Hello Sports Boys. Ran into them at the golf day last week. They'll be about. There will be a lingerie bout, so looking forward to that. Some of the younger crew, some of the
Keep focused, Lukey.
Yeah, stay focused. Make sure the screen's not in the back. Turn it off. Turn the TV off. Jarch from We Mean Well, I know he's pumped up, ready to go. Tom and Cam from Alpha Blokes will be fighting as well. Comedians Marty and Michael, crazy tag team, and Lukey has seen them spar. And he reckons, wow. And I had a chat to Knuckles the other day, looking at doing some stuff with him later in the year. And he's taking it seriously. So
it's good.
Remember, Knuckles was the guy who called you out originally. He's the one hosting the day.
His levels, mate.
Yeah. there is levels, baby. There is levels, but we're looking forward to getting up there, mate. We'll have a few schooners. So if you see us up there, come and grab us.
Come
and in and around the fight, and we'll have a schooner together. Also, mate, I would like to announce, I've been working on this behind the scenes, but I am officially a Sydney Marathon ambassador.
Yeah, good stats.
Yeah, I'm stoked, mate.
That's great, mate. What are you doing? So you're obviously going to be doing the marathon this year again?
Yep. So the marathon's in September. I've been speaking to the team, Sophie and the team from Sydney Marathon. Part of the process is for me to do some recruiting. So we've got our own specific levels run club team.
Right.
So Lukey, again, will put a link down the bottom. For anyone that's done any stuff with us before at our own levels run clubs on the weekend, I want people to get involved. What's your goals?
What did you do? What was your time last year?
So last year I've got the times in front of me, right? My net time.
Because I heard you're a bit pissed off.
I am. This is
revenge tour.
This is a redemption story. Redemption story. 5 hours and 5 minutes, mate. Right. So I'll run you through my splits as well. So first 5 kilometers, traveling, 29 minutes, not too bad. Second 10 kilometer, another 29 minutes, feeling good. 15 kilometer, next five, 28 minutes. The 20K mark, 29 minutes. So very consistent.
Yeah.
I've got a good little pace going and in my head I'm like, this is a pace where I think I can get in and around the 4 hour mark. So by the time I get to the first half of the marathon, so for the half, I'm at 2 hours and 3 minutes and 45 seconds.
Killing it.
And that's when it changed.
Oh, the fucking wall, eh?
That's when I hit the wall. The weather conditions obviously played into it, but looking back on it now, preparation that I'll be doing for the marathon is going to be a lot stricter. This time around, let's put it that way. I had a program from Nick Youngquest, who's a Sydney ambassador, ex-rugby league player as well. Me and a couple of the boys run together on the Tuesdays, as you know. We get together for a run club. So me and Louis Brown and Jamie Bura did it last year together. Hopeful to be running with those boys again and recruiting a few more NRL boys. But I'm not going to go crazy and set the 4 hours, but I think I can get under 4 hours and 30 minutes for sure.
Come on.
Without breaking. So I'll go through the process of it, go through some better planning. And I'm really looking forward to it, mate. So just for anyone that's not aware, the Sydney Marathon wants to become a major marathon. So at the moment
Up there with Boston, New York, all that sort of stuff?
Yeah. So this is the group of races that are currently majors. Tokyo, Boston, London, Berlin, Chicago and New York.
Surely Sydney gets one. Come on.
We're working on it.
Surely.
We're working on it. Come on. I'm excited to be a part of that. I think we took a great step last year. From the sounds of it, from all the people organizing it, it's going to sell out really quickly. So if you want to be a part of our team, the Levels Run Club team, there'll be shirts that we'll give to our team members on the day. We'll obviously all start together. Lukey is going to put the link down the bottom. So anyone who can follow can use this link and this directs you straight to our team. So if you want to be part of my team, and then once you go through, you're able to select marathon waves. So when you select that, go to E-Group, which is you give them a rough idea of about where you want to finish and then that sets you up in the groups at the starting line because it's so big because there's so many people, they have to do it in waves, right?
Mm.
So we're going to be in E-Wave, which is the target of anywhere between 4 hours and 30 minutes to 5 hours and 5 minutes, which I did last year. So I'm excited for the redemption tour, Mace.
You'll get it.
I'm excited to be getting after it. And come and join the Levels Run Club with me. There'll be a couple of ex-NRL boys that'll be part of it. I know me and Louis Brown have been talking about doing it together.
Will the Biff be there?
I'm trying to talk Biffer back into it. Luke Burgess is Biffer. Yeah. Corey Norman said he's going to do it with us. Who else is there's one more. There's a couple more. So I'll let you know how we're going with recruiting.
All right.
But I'm excited and I'd love to have you there on the day, mate, to be there at the finish line when I cross over and hit the target. And then we'll have a few quiet beverages after it and celebrate. Because last time I wasn't able to.
You didn't want it.
I was in a bad way. So I want to make sure I'm in a good position where I can come and see you after and we can cheers and we can have a schooner together. Yeah. How about that?
Let's go.
All right, let's get into it. Let's get into the show, mate.
Yeah, man.
Want to also thank everyone, the subscriptions, followers, Instagram, everything's fine at the moment, yep. Mace. An extra 300 from last week on YouTube, an extra 500 on Instagram. The clips are flying. Thank you, everyone, who's interacting, engaging with us. It all helps. Subscribing on Apple and Spotify. Thank you so much for joining us on this ride. And we have some information. You mentioned Jordy Barrett. On the last episode. So this one is from Monty Akpan. Jordy Barrett signed for Leinster, basically the Penrith of the Irish. I think you said Munster.
Well, whatever, an Irish team.
Yeah,
sorry, no disrespect to the Irish game. I know it was an Irish team, but.
Yeah, so listen to this last little bit. So it is the Penrith of Irish Rugby League with the amount of players they produce who play for the other Irish provinces. So Munster is a part of that. Connacht, I believe. Apologies if I'm pronouncing that wrong. And Ulster, love the show, boys. Keep up the great work. Coming from a fan in Dublin, Ireland. I know Monty is wrote a message to us before, so I love the reach that we've got all around the world at the moment. We've got a really good.
But he is the Barrett guy is going to be. Is he in the?
He's at Leinster, not Munster.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I believe you said Munster.
Yeah, but like, but it's not in Japan. That's the thing. Is one of them in Japan?
Bowden
Barrett.
Yes. So right. So Jordy has signed for Leinster. But Bowden is currently in Japan now, right, I believe. Okay. And also someone said I didn't end up following up, but they said the Barretts weren't born in Ireland either. Where'd you throw that one from?
I've watched it. I watched the thing on whatever the Barretts said. He said they grew up there until they were 4 or 5.
Oh, really?
I swear.
Yeah, it was like on one of the stories.
Well, he said it, come out of his mouth. Yeah. That's why I fucking just repeat it.
Yeah, okay.
Just
didn't do any research on it.
Just because he's playing for Leinster, I mean, he's from Ireland. I'm pretty sure he's been over there.
Yeah. You know what? I'll text Jordy.
Let's just fix this up.
I'll follow him on Instagram. I'll follow up that.
Yeah, okay.
And hit him up and say, were you born? Tell us about the Islands.
Or he's lived there for 4 or 5 years. I'm pretty sure.
I'll ask him.
Yeah, as a youngster.
All right, here's a good one. This one's from Fluza. Sup, boys? Long time listener, first time commenter?
Commenter.
Listen to every potty now since the beginning. Love the content. Appreciate what you provide for us fans. Seeing your tab bets you place had me thinking. Just a question about NRL fantasy. I've played fantasy every year now and it actually has encouraged me to watch nearly every game every week now. And I'm sure other levelers play the game. I actually don't know if current players are allowed to play or not, but I can't imagine so. As former NRL players, would be cool to hear your thoughts, experiences about if you have any. Also, an idea of that next year, a levels fantasy league with the community you are building would be dope. Cheers, lads.
That'd be mad.
It would be mad.
Yeah. You'd have to teach me a little bit because I'm way out of the super coaching. I remember that it was the back end of my career it started coming in and I didn't understand what people were talking about. Hey, you got to give us 100 metres. Fuck, mate, we won. Who cares? Do you know what I mean? Stuff like that. So obviously a little bit you've taught me about fantasy with the NFL and all that kind of stuff. So it's not much difference, is there?
No,
but
it's not.
You got your team, you pick your salary cap, you're going to have about 6 or 7 stars and you sort of pick other players. You've got a top 25 or something like that?
Yeah,
you get
roughly.
Interchange and all that sort of stuff? Yeah,
you've got a list and you've got to pick your rookies and that. I played it for one season when I was at Manly and I quickly stopped playing after about 4 or 5 weeks I believe players played. Some guys kept on live, some didn't. I don't think it's illegal either, by the way. I think some of the boys used to play in family leagues or whatever because that's what I played in with my brothers at the time and my mum and dad. But I found myself during games, at the back end of games, because we're winning games, trying to pad.
Oh, no.
I was trying to pat my stats. Yeah.
Stats.
I was trying to I was trying to Russell Westbrook that shit, right?
No way.
At the back end. And I thought to myself, what am I doing? After about 2 or 3 games, I was like, nah, this ain't it.
I need 3 more tackles.
Imagine if I got injured. Imagine if I injured someone else. Imagine, you know, you become, you know, you're not being a good teammate.
That's just another worry in the game that you just don't want.
Nah.
You get through the game, you play your ass off. I swear, I'm not sure what young kids are like now, but fuck, surely they're not thinking about Supercoach.
Do you think there are some players that played Supercoach over the years? You know, some of the guys that got massive stats. Do you reckon any of them played or they just – regardless.
Fucking Paul Gallen would have won. I'm telling you that much.
I have a feeling
Gal's fucking stats would have been, he would have got VB a hard-earned man of the match or man of the year for like 10 years.
Yeah.
His stats are just like that.
He was a super coach favorite.
Yeah, super coach.
I reckon
King.
Corey Parker played.
Corey Parker would have been that as well.
What do you got, Lukey?
I'm just reading the T's and C's.
T's and C's,
The only thing that would exclude you was your eligibility to win a prize.
Okay, so Lukey's saying the only thing that would have excluded, we couldn't win the prize money, but yeah, I wasn't playing for that. Yeah. I was playing that against my family.
I highly doubt that people will, like, that probably done your head in after three games. Right? It did, I highly doubt the guys like Gal and Corey Parker and all these blokes will be thinking, I need super coach points. What are you going to win? Nothing gives a fuck.
Do you think guys think, like, I think when, obviously even away from super coach, right, like you got to find those guys that – understand the better stats you have, the more money you get, the more that contract money as well. So people specifically,
can you go in there negotiations? Go look at my supercoach points. You fucking CEO, you'd rip it up and say, get the fuck out.
I had a mate, his brother played, and he was filthy because he followed me over from Parramatta to Manly, and they call them cheapies, right? So this is a tag that they put on. So I come from Parramatta and I wasn't playing much, so my value dropped all the way down, like it does at real time, right? Your value drops down with your stats. Then you start playing good. Then I went over to Manly, but because I went to Manly, it's not like my stats dramatically improved. I just went to a better team, but I was still the same player. Yeah. So I wasn't getting any more carries, and then I had people blowing up and messaging
up
me
at you.
And going, "You got to get your stats up. Why aren't you scoring more tries?" I said, it's not like I'm not trying not to score and
I don't want to score
and offload. It's not changing my game.
Yeah, I couldn't drop that shit when I was playing for Newcastle. I said, "Man, fuck off, don't."
Yeah, but it's definitely a great way of engaging.
I think we should definitely do it.
Yeah,
definitely do it.
I've had a crack this year. I've just been playing in
a bit of fun.
I've been playing in a random league just to see how it goes.
Who'd be your number one pick?
So right now my team is
one player. Who's your first pick in a super coach team?
Well, Tommy Turbo is my captain this week, so he'd be my number one pick.
So right you go now. Off tries and meters gained and all that sort
it's
of stuff.
So right? many different stats that come into it.
I'd go like a Ruben Cotter.
Ruben Cotter's about a second tier player, second or third tier player. So the in his position, guys that are killing it.
Reece Walsh, actually.
Walsh's killing it now.
Walsh, I'd pick
because also goal kickers get a lot of points as well. Sorry for everyone who plays Supercoach is well aware of all this and listen to us noobs.
I've never played it.
Listen to us noobs chat about it. But, I'm going to get into it next year. We'll have a Levels Fantasy one and we'll get around it. This one's from Paul Barnes. Hey, boys, love the podcast. Would like to hear your thoughts on this. Potentially controversial opinion. I think the Roosters are a poorly coached team in attack. They have great attacking players, but they aren't a great attacking team. They rely on individual players to do something out of the ordinary for a lot of their points, not on great attacking structure. I think it's poor coaching. Thoughts on that, mate?
Interesting, because what was Trent Robinson known for at the start of his coaching tenure? Defense, right?
Defense. It's all defense. 2013, they were so hard to break, mate.
Mate, I remember playing against them. They were 13, 14, man. They were 15. Yep. Unbelievable team. Then they end up getting those competitions based on defense, but a great attacking scheme as well, right?
Well, they did fizzle out for a couple of years after 13 until
after Cooper, the halfback. Cooper after Cronk the arrived. Halfback.
Yep.
The halfback's been a big problem for them for a while. Not their forwards, not their defensive systems, nothing like that, because that's all embedded into their culture. That's what they're like. But he's got a fair point, this guy.
Yeah, I think it's a fair point.
Well, who's their attacking coach?
At the moment, it's Justin Holbrook in his first year. I believe – so was Riles involved last year? And who else? They had another assistant coach that's moved on.
Beamos is there.
Is Matt King Beamos, still there?
Matty King might be there.
Yeah. Boydie Corden is involved. Boydie's just,
it would be forwards coach.
It would definitely be Justin Holbrook this year, but it's his first – year with well, what are
he
we
can't sit there and change a whole
not
structure.
In six games no. not in six games but I think it's a great point because you're right, they were Robbo, despite all the flair and flamboyancy that you see from the Roosters, I attribute them as being a really good defensive team.
I'll throw you a left edge at it for you. Left edge, you got, so just say Friendy at hooker, Keary, Boyd Cordner left side back row, Teddy at the back, Latrell left center, Tupou left wing.
Yeah, well.
That was ridiculous, all in their prime.
Yeah.
So it's like the right side, then you got Joey Manu, then you had Crichton, and yeah, Orbison, and it was just.
Tupanua through the middle.
Tupanua, you had Hargraves there, you had, they had a team. Takayaho was killing Liu was killing it. Like those blokes were at their peak, man. Yeah. Defensively at their peak, I remember playing those guys, man, like 12, 13, 14, 15. They were fucking about it.
Yeah.
They hit hard. And then in attack, you just had to try and stop them. You know, they had the full package there,
So do you think they played the power game through the middle and then just obviously and had just the had class on the outside to
proper
just
class.
Fatigue you into to tries?
You had Piercy at halfback there running the ship. And then you had
Jimmy
Keary.
Maloney.
and Jimmy Maloney. Yep. And then that before Keary. And then you had, you know, then Cooper Cronk come in with Keary.
Lukey's super keen to get up. He's got something. So Lukey talked about RTS and Mini rotating. That was more 13, because 13, Minicello was getting on in his years. He also had a heap of injuries, and they had this young guard called Roger Tuivasa-Sheck that they just need to get more footy.
They but you know smart. What?
Let's think of let's break this down now. When you think about Anthony Minicello, Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, James Tedesco, and Joseph Manu.
Fucking ridiculous.
Right? So think about those players.
You can't coach those guys.
They've played they're the fullbacks that predominantly played fullback for the Roosters during this span.
Since 2000.
They're not the greatest ball players though, are they, Mace?
No, they never really had to be, right?
Are they? They never really, like, Mini got a little bit better.
Yeah,
back end. Back end. Teddy really hasn't developed it to an elite level. It's solid, but the one big criticism we have with Teddy, sometimes he goes too far overs. Yeah. So it could they've tried to come through the front door.
They support around the middle of the ruck because they've got good offloaders, and Teddy just goes like, Mini was coached like that. He'd come around the back sometimes, but you'd never see him on those big long sweeps like Billy Slater or Snake or anything like that. He wasn't that sort of player. He'd be the support player through the ruck, go straight through you. He'd be hitting holes. Just say if you're a good ball player, halfback, hitting holes outside like the three or four man. Like he'd just be energy.
Hitting the outline hard.
Yeah, like, you know, like
Roger and Manu are not going to strip you apart with their pass, are they?
No. They never got taught like that. Yeah. And they're not that sort of player. What sort of player are those guys? They're fucking mad footwork. They're fast. They're aggressive. They're fit. And they'll go through the middle of you trying to get the lazy guys around the ruck, trying to expose those guys.
Yeah.
Then they evolved into around the back. They always had that sort of stuff, but it was never that sort of Kalen Ponga sort of play, anything like that. They never had that. They never had to play like that.
Yeah.
Because the centers are so they've had Latrell there. They've had Joey Manu there. They've had some gun centers since about 2013, pretty much.
Yeah.
So the
2013, the year we played them, that's when they were running the block double shape. You remember that? Mm. I remember at Manly, we spent about 45 minutes in video on the shape that was consistently pulling us and the rest of the competition apart. God, so they used to get to a near post, which is either side, but predominantly it was Piercy on the left. Yeah. And they used to run front rower through the middle. It was normally Jared or Sam Muller make you bite. Once you bit at A, the B defender would come over. Piercy would play a doubles with a middle back rower, maybe Paul Newell-Sulla. And then obviously Boydie Cordner. If you didn't commit and jam in, which would bring the center and half in, then he'd hit Boydie short.
Yeah.
But if you did commit and he'd go out the back and ended up just being like
or a hit Mini on. Or just hit like whoever the left center was. Like, because PC had a dart. Bang, you could throw one of the best balls of all time.
Yeah.
And you had to account for every single person in
On
that shape.
Yeah.
If you want to fight, and then you got Friendy throwing darts, you got to account for Friendy as well. Sam Moa, Hargraves, Piercy, Minicello at the back.
It was a good play.
RTS on the left wing, like Toops on the other one. Sorry, Boyd Cordner.
You're right, mate. You're right. I was wrong. It wasn't a middle with it. It was Boydie in the center running the doubles.
Just fucking double inside out.
Double inside out the center.
Yeah.
Making the winger decide if he's going to come in on the air out the back.
They had some plays, man. But I think when you got brains like that in your team, you seem to come up with shit like that at training.
Yeah.
On the roster. Yeah. You just come up. Like I remember like there were some plays there, like when you had guys like myself, Sonny Bill, Roy Asitasi, Rennie Matua on the field at the same time, man. You just got to spot up the weakness.
Yeah.
Where's the three man on their left three or whatever? Inside, outside of this guy with general around the back. Well, fucking good luck.
Your roster's more talented. You know you're going to break them down.
Yes, exactly. So you got guys in the middle. So they've got to account for Roy Asitasi, Steve Price, and Marco Mealy.
Mm.
You've got to account for Bobcat, Willie Mason, and fucking Sonny Bill and Rennie Matua.
Mm.
We're coming at you in twos, right? And we're trying to get inside and outside of the three men.
Yep.
You make a decision.
I think it's a great point.
And then you got guys like halfbacks and stuff like that who pull the trigger at the right decision.
Yeah.
Piercy used to do the right thing, and so did Cooper Cronk.
Yep. Yep, you're right. Paul, good question.
I don't know. I still don't know. They just look like they've got the talent, so much talent in that team, they just haven't figured it out yet. And it's round eight.
I think it's one part of his game that he probably hasn't developed as a coach. Robbo, that's just my personal opinion. Mm. I think they've been a specifically defensively minded team, which is great because that's what wins you games. That's why they've been so They've won so many games during his era. But if there is one part that he could improve on, it's potentially sharpening up their attack and maybe having a better ball player out the back could be the problem.
Get Smith, Walker, and Keary on the same page, and they go close.
Mm.
They go close. If not, if they keep playing,
you don't think the fullback's an issue out the back with not being able to strip the numbers in this day and age?
Teddy, mate, he ain't going to evolve. He's not going to evolve with around the back. He does it sometimes, but they never get into that shape.
Yeah.
They never play for that shape.
They never set
up for a Teddy around the back sort of thing like Reece Walsh. Mm. Right? Have you seen it?
Do you think it's because they're limited because of his capability of not being able to pull the trigger?
I think he could do it. They just never try and do it.
Okay.
Yep. I think he has all the skill set to do everything.
Yeah.
He's like a mini 2.0. Like
yeah,
a Minicello 2.0 because he can throw a ball. He can throw a dart.
Mm.
They just never work for that play. Off just say the left side or like how Dylan Edwards just seems to pop up like on the block for block for block.
Yeah. So even when he does it out the back, he never does the cutout, but he just does the quick
tip. Just the little hands.
If you get Teddy
in that position, they'll execute that.
All right.
And I think that's the attack coaching.
Yep.
So maybe something's up there.
7 weeks in, they can improve on that.
They can get they can execute because they have the gun players to do what Penrith do.
Yeah.
If they can do that, they will strip teams.
That could be the difference in why they're not beating Penrith and Melbourne,
yes,
though.
It
right?
is.
Because in big games, you've got to be able to make those plays. Good question, Paul.
That's a good question because people are starting to ask it.
Yep.
It's only going to get heavier.
All right. This one's from user MG1P. Mate, put your name down there too because this is a great question and love that you've come over from AFL. AFL was a religion for me growing up. Saw the Blues win 8 premierships, been to too many grand GFs, well over 100,000. 121,690 once at the MCG for an AFL grand final.
He's talking about Carlton Blues.
Went down the gurgler. Along came the storm. Can't believe my luck. Been to too many games and 3 NRL grand finals. Still follow the AFL, but nowhere near the NRL and the storm and prefer rugby league now.
Right, jeez.
Can't get enough. Love your pod, guys. Firstly, love my AFL as well. Love the AFL boys that we mix.
He hasn't been celebrating since 96 then or 95.
Carlton having a good year.
Yeah, but they haven't won a flag since 95.
It's been that long, is it? I know the Carlton are playing
PK,
really well this year.
PK, diehards, man.
Okay, there you go. Crazy. Shout out, PK. And this one's from Damien Kearns. Off the back of the Melbourne chap, quick question for the boys. Why do Melbourne Storm get so overlooked this year, currently coming second and have beaten all the best teams, but still everyone from the fans to the commentators don't rate them? Do you agree with that?
I agree. I just think there's something missing there. I think they've got a good team, right? It's that Melbourne culture that you talk about. They're always going to turn up. They're going to play in big games. The Pappenhausens, Jerome Hughes, Munsters and stuff like that. But the forward pack's going to – that's the one that you sort of got question marks over.
Yeah, for sure. They lost a lot of –
They're big and they're strong and they're physical. They do Melbourne things and, you know, you expect it from a Melbourne forward pack. But they just missing that – the ball playing sort of lock maybe. Like, I'm not sure, you know, like they're just – I don't know. They're very big and physical, but it's just like something's up.
I
don't look at it. If they play their best football, they can't roll with Penrith.
Yeah,
not on Penrith's best day in a full deck of cards.
Not yet.
I think they're going to be hands down. They're going to be in the prelim,
thereabouts,
or in the grand final.
Yeah,
trust
top
me.
Four.
But they're
top
just not what we look at because we're nearly desensitized for Melbourne being so great for 20 years. We just expect them to be like – they've
like
just come down a
wins.
Little bit, just a little bit. They're just not as dominant because Penrith's that team. Penrith's the dominant team.
Yeah, Penrith's
Brisbane's
the
dominant team. Melbourne's still a top four team. Let's not get it twisted, but people are probably just sick of giving Melbourne raps.
Well,
they've been so fucking dominant, you're just sick of it. The commentators probably – they don't want Melbourne to do good all the time.
Well, let me throw this at you. They beat Penrith round one, 8-0. They obviously beat the Warriors on the buzzer 30-26. Then they lost to the Knights, remember? That was without Jerome Hughes and Cam Munster before Cam Munster had returned. Then they beat the Broncos, but the Broncos were missing a heap of stars. They just scraped by against your Bulldogs, who are – that form line looks a lot better now after last week's win. And then obviously an 18-12 win against the Roosters. So they haven't blown anyone out of years past. Remember when Melbourne used to win?
Yeah.
Felt like they always won games down in Melbourne by 20. But look at that hit list. Mm. Roosters.
It's everyone. That's
Broncos,
the big deal. That's all the big dogs, right?
Warriors and Storm.
Yeah, I agree. But I'm still not sold on Melbourne being the most dominant team because I know, like, the full, you know, Penrith were no one playing their best football right now.
Yeah.
I expect this from Melbourne. Week in, week out, year in, year out, I expect Melbourne just to win more games than they lose.
Yeah. So you feel like Penrith and Brisbane are going to build into the year better?
Fuck yeah.
And are going to be.
They're way better teams right now.
Than what the.
Right now.
When the Melbourne Storm beat them. Okay.
Yeah. So when they start, when they're peaking after Origin, you know, it depends on the roster and all the players that are fit. Panthers are going to be hard to beat. And the Broncos are going to be hard to beat. Mm. Broncos are impressing me so much.
Yeah,
just without Payne, Haas and Reynolds, I'm like, shit, their defensive systems and how hard they're working for each other. There's a proper brotherhood being built up there. I can tell. Penrith's going to be hard to beat. Melbourne's going to be hard to beat.
Yep.
They're your top three. Everyone else is just do your best against them.
Damien Kearns, not all commentators, not everyone in the media. I had Melbourne winning the comp, beating the Broncos in the grand final. So I still like my prediction.
I expect Melbourne to be in the prelim.
Yes.
Like and fight for, you know, like and you better be on your best game to beat them.
They'll be a pain in the ass.
Yes, it's a team that just doesn't go away, and this is they've become so consistent and just to do Melbourne shit that like I expect it from them.
Yeah,
like I expect them. I'm pretty sure when they put that Melbourne jersey on, they expect to win every game. That's what they've built, and that's what you get.
Yeah,
and Bellamy's your coach too. Come on.
And no one wore that jersey better than our next story, mate. Dale Finucane has announced his retirement from rugby league. I've seen some clips on it over the past couple of days, even Craig Bellamy speaking of Dale Finucane and how he epitomised what it meant to wear a Melbourne Storm jersey. Finucane revealed in a press conference at Shark Park that he had been told by two different experts that he should retire. The 32-year-old said he exhausted all avenues in the hopes to keep playing, but he admitted in the end it wasn't a decision. Yeah. He was a Bulldog mace, started his career 62 games, 66% win rate, couple of GFs. Unfortunately, he didn't get the job done. He goes to the Storm, plays in another couple, but he wins another couple as well. 152 games, 75% win rate.
Yeah,
and then even at the Sharks, he's completely changed the culture and it's been a bit of a rebuild.
Yeah.
Although he hasn't been on the field as much, you can feel his influence there. 33 games, 57%. He's a winner, mate.
He's a winner, mate. Well done on your career, Dale. He was an animal, man. I was spewing when he left the Bulldogs.
Mm.
Yeah, even though I was still playing, I was just like, fuck, he's a Bulldog, man. He personifies what a Bulldog is, man, the way he trains, the way he approaches games. Bellamy, I've never seen Bellamy give higher praise to anybody that he's coached than Dale Finucane.
Yeah, I couldn't.
And that says
– I couldn't remember anything
so
like that.
Much because I've heard him say some great things about Dale in the last 3 or 4 years while he's still playing. One of the best guys he's coached, one of the best players, one of the best humans. So, like, that says a lot about Dale Finucane. I don't know him personally that much. Like, I obviously, you know, I have a lot of respect for him for as a human, as a player as well.
As a fan of the game?
Yeah, as a fan of the game. But no one says a bad word about that man. And he can fucking sing and play the guitar.
Yeah, he's the grouse.
He's the best.
Yeah.
You know, he's apparently one of the best clubmen, everything. Everyone's saying about what the legacy at the Dogs, and he played 62 games.
Mm.
I love him.
Yeah.
Melbourne, love him. You know what I mean? Cronulla, love him. So well done on a career, mate. Health is wealth. It means 100%. There's a lot more to life than football, mate. And you've played everything. You've done everything in the game. So well done on your career.
Notched up 250 of the best a couple of weeks ago.
It's not
so
like
congrats, mate.
There wasn't a game where he fucking didn't have had a day off. You know what I mean? He went hard, mate.
His 250 is like 500 for a lot of other players. I think he's played 500.
Yeah.
Yeah, the way he played it.
Yeah.
You said it well, mate. I don't want to add anything more to that. Well done. Staying on the Storm, there was some news broke on SEN from Corey Parker at the start of the week. Yeah. And Jerome Hughes has come out in the media. They addressed it straight away the next day. Don't know what they're talking about. Superstar halfback Jerome Hughes has hit back at rumours he wants to move back to the Gold Coast, insisting Melbourne is his home now as the club ramps up talks to extend the Kiwis playmaker until 2028. So this is more a hypothetical. He's obviously shutting it down, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's true. I have absolutely zero information on this. I just find it super intriguing because there are a couple of teams up there, in particular the Titans, and then you know across the road to the new club, the Dolphins, that could use his services.
Yep.
If he was to become available, which team would you like to see Jerome Hughes playing for? If he's moving back to the Gold Coast.
If he was going to go back, I think he'd probably suit Redcliffe a little bit better. So he can have the young Katoa under his wing and teach him a lot of things. You've got Cody Nikorima up there as well. But, like, I know – like if he's going to go back to the Gold Coast, you go to the Gold Coast, right?
Mm. Well, they desperately need a half.
Yes, too.
Desperately need a half.
Like, I'm not sure how old Jerome Hughes is. He's probably he's been probably taking unders his whole career. And, of course, I expect him to shut it down, right?
Yes.
But Corey Parker just wouldn't toss that up.
Yeah, it's quite a like random one.
Like he just wouldn't go, yeah, apparently he's coming back and this and that. Obviously, like, you know, Corey's got some
– oh, yeah, I've got a Luke. Yeah, sweet. Yeah, Luke, he's saying 29 in the background.
Yeah, he's still in his prime. 29 is very young, right? Yeah, very young for a half. He can play till he's 36. Have a look at everyone else still playing now. A
couple of the OGs, Shawnee Johnson, DCE.
And I'm like, he could get – minimum 1.2 at the Goldie. Depends if he's prioritising money now. He's already done everything in the game. Yep. He's won a couple of comps down there. He's the man. You know, does he know what Bellamy's doing? Does Bellamy have 1, 2, 3 years? Is he retiring this year?
I heard it was reported that Bellamy was going around again next year.
Yeah, well, that is a big deal for players. What is Craig Bellamy doing?
Especially
for the Melbourne players. There's such a tight-knit group down there, and Bellamy is the glue to that whole thing. So that would take into calculations what he's going to do. But I wouldn't put it out of like, you know, it's not coming from nowhere.
Mm.
Like if he's going to go somewhere, it would be either Redcliffe or it would be the Gold Coast Titans. Gold Coast Titans are cashed out. He'd probably get 1.3 or 4.
Easy.
That's easily. He's worth that. He's a top three half.
Tinfoil hats on. Just because this intrigues me, right? So they've got a young kid down there with huge expectations. He's played a few games now, Jonah Peasant. And you talked about their forwards before. What about a David Fifita for Jerome Hughes swap?
Shit. Depends. I mean, haven't been Jerome Hughes, right? Jerome Hughes, knowing what that Melbourne culture is like, winning, going into every game, thinking you're going to win, prepping, like getting prepped by Craig Bellamy and the best of the best, and then going from there to the Titans.
At 30 years old?
At 30.
Two premierships already?
Pressure on him all the time.
Do you reckon he's maybe on like 800, 850? Yeah, maybe. And he could be getting 1.2 to finish off his career. Teams up with Kieran Foran. Next year gets Tino Fasulamalawi. Got AJ Brimson. Of course, it's not the Melbourne roster.
I definitely don't think they're going to lose Fifita for Peasant. I don't think they're going to be – I don't think they'll be going, oh, yeah, we've got – Jerome Peasant hasn't done anything in the game.
Well, not yet, but you can't see if he's consistently behind Jerome Hughes and Cam Munster, though. Mm. So if you're not going to get a look, it's one of those things they see him more than anyone. So if they were to make this decision and Jerome Hughes ends up deciding, look, this is my time to cash in, he's currently
– surely they can't be angry at him.
No, I don't think they would be.
No. If he's got every right to go, hey, come on, guys, I need – you know, I reckon he's been paid unders for the last 4 years.
I would say so.
And I think he's been a top three halfback for the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
And so just say he's been on 600, 700, something like that.
Yeah.
And then they've just re-upped Harry Grant and Munster and all these other blokes. And
Pappy, I think.
I think they're in
talks with Pappy at the moment. Yeah, so – they just re-upped Suafalongo as well. Yeah.
It's going to be a hard decision for him because there's going to be some big, big money because he's a fucking good player.
If he was on the market right now, he's going north of $1 million, you're right.
North, easily. And, you know, does he want to stay in Melbourne? Does he want to retire Melbourne Storm player? That's on him.
Yep. I'm pretty sure
if he leaves, he'll be – get a handshake and go, good luck.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
he's
so
done
too.
That much for that club.
And they've developed him, so they've done a lot for him. Yes. A fullback, high vape, half hybrid before bench. he got to Melbourne. Yeah. Spent some time at North Queensland, I believe. Spent some time at Gold Coast, and it didn't come to fruition until he went down to Melbourne. So it's a hard one. It's something to monitor. When I say tinfoil hat, I just obviously knowing the Fifita situation, I just put a couple of names together and see what it tossed up. But I'm with you. I don't think Corey Parker would toss that up.
Just toss that up just for fun.
Topic three. Oh, I got rid of the highlighted version of it. Sorry, mate. Anyway, staying on halves, the Warriors have confirmed young gun Jet Cleary has signed a 3-year contract with the Warriors. The 19-year-old son of Ivan Cleary and the brother of Nathan.
Wow.
Will be joining the Warriors next year. He's born in New Zealand and could play for the Kiwis because you remember Ivan was coaching back in the day.
Shit.
So that's interesting.
Wow.
How good would it be to have a Cleary representing New Zealand? I'd love that.
Well, they're both playing against like Cleary's playing for Australia and Cleary's playing for New Zealand.
Fuck, that'd be cool.
3 or 4 years or something.
That'd be cool to see.
Jeez, that's a big.
I want to throw a couple of things at you. I want to throw a couple of things at you. So he's a halfback, right? Obviously. Maybe he believes he's an out and out halfback.
Obviously, not a 5'8".
The one concerning part for me is. Not concerning all the questions I've got, and I haven't watched a shitload of Jet Cleary at all, right? Let's preface that. But Jerome Luai is moving on next year. At the moment, on their books, they've got Brad Schneider as a potential replacement. Dane Laurie's a bit of a hybrid who they've talked about could be competing for the spot. I'm just confused why.
Totally confused, I am.
He hasn't. Why his dad and his brother haven't wanted to keep him there? Is it
maybe it's just like I want to do it my own way. I don't want to be. I don't like usually that younger brother's sort of like yeah, no, fuck it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to get coached by dad. Fuck this. I'll do it my own way.
A little bro
maybe
mentality.
Maybe a little bro mentality. I'm going to break away. I'm going to do it my own way.
Okay,
but maybe that's it. Maybe he's that sort of kid. Free spirit. Fuck it. I'm going to go to New Zealand. I'm born in New Zealand. I'm play for the Warriors. Always wanted to play for the Warriors.
I'd imagine he's got a really good relationship with Webster, who was an assistant coach with Ivan a couple of times at the Warriors, Tigers and Penrith.
Yep.
Maybe Ivan looks at it, if I'm going to lose my son to someone, I'll go to someone who I know who can develop him and go to a good culture and a good system.
It has to be that.
Let's move to the Warriors. Currently got Sean Johnson and there's been chat around Shawnee. He's feeling really good at the moment. He's got an injury cloud this week, but he's come out and said that he's feeling really good physically and emotionally. And I think maybe 2 or 3 months ago when the Pacific Championship's on, I thought it seemed to me that he was leaning towards retirement, but with the form of the Warriors, it looks like he may stay on. So Luke Metcalf looked like to be the long-term option at six for him before he seems to keep getting injured now. They've also got Tamari Martin and they've got Chanel Harris-DeVito.
All sixes. All sixes, right? So this kid who you must think is an out-and-out six.
Out-and-out seven. Yeah. Next in line up to Shawnee?
Yeah, he has to be.
Yeah, is that the plan?
He's got to be. That would be his plan. I don't think he sees – obviously he doesn't see that – the pathway in Penrith because he's got his brother there 5 to 10 years. Does he wait that long? He doesn't think he can play 5'8". He's going to go over there. Sean Johnson going to the tutelage of Sean Johnson and Webster, and he'll be the halfback in a year or two.
Yeah, so 20
– that'd be the plan.
Maybe they drip feed him in a game or two next year. Why, if Shawnee has a niggle, to take over in 2026.
100%. That'd be his plan.
All right.
Doesn't always work out, but
his plan. I'm looking forward to seeing it. Like I said, I haven't seen much of Jet. I've heard good things. Lukey's also chucked in the notes here. And this is the guy that they've been talking about when we addressed the Jerome Luai signing in the preseason.
Yeah.
Everyone was telling me about this Jack Cole kid, and he's currently playing six in the New South Wales Cup right now. The seven is Trent Tolau, but it's spelt Toelau. So apologies if I'm pronouncing that wrong. But yeah, those are a couple of options in the New South Wales Cup. So
they'll have something.
What about the relationship between the Warriors and Penrith at the moment?
It's great.
They're the new dogs. They're taking all the Panthers.
Until they take the wrong kid.
I think Gus has run out of money at the Bulldogs, so Webby's come knocking on the door going, we'll take a couple.
Oh, it's great. It's good. It's good for the young kid. He backed himself as well. Like to do that, you know, to leave Penrith, leave his brother, his dad. I'm going to go fucking New Zealand.
Yeah, I love it. I love the thought process.
I'm going to take Sean Johnson's spot.
I don't think you'll be thinking that.
He's got to think that. I'm taking your spot in a year or two, son.
Yeah, okay, yep, got you. I thought you meant as in go there, he's still fit, and he comes and takes Shawnee's spot next year. Okay. All right, mate, let's get into my Levels Punters Club special for this week, and I got a really good one this week. I actually really like this one. So I've got a different option. The Eagles and Eels, they're not interested in defending, are they, this year, mate? So I'm going to go total points over 45.5. I think there's going to be a lot of points at Four Pines on Friday night. And the traders, our friends and the traders at the tab, have got us a specific bet for Tommy Turbo or Clint Gutherson to score in the first 60 minutes for $4.25. So do you think this game is going to have a lot of points in it? Yes, I do. Tick. Do you think one of the first fullbacks for either team is going to score in the first 60 minutes. Yes, I do. Tick, because Gutho loves playing at Four Pines as well too, by the way. So let's get into breaking down the games, mate. You ready to go?
Let's go.
Kicking off, the Warriors. We talked a lot about them with Jet Cleary, but he's not there yet. So they play the Gold Coast Titans the first game. So shout out to the Warriors finally getting a game on Anzac Day back home in New Zealand. It's been a long time coming. They obviously played the game in Melbourne for all those years. They've separated themselves, gone back to New Zealand. They're playing the Titans at 2 p.m. tomorrow at Go Media Stadium. Well, you'll be watching this today, so it is today. The Warriors, no Kurt Capewell. He is replaced in the starting lineup by the kid you like, Jacob Lavin. Yes. I also like him. And the other kid that I like is finally going to make his debut, Zion Ma'u.
I thought he was going to play last week.
He was 18th man. Yeah, I thought he might play, but they kept the bench. Dylan Walker also returns. Therefore, Adam Pompey drops out to the 18th man. As for the Titans, Dez is stuck with the 17 that pushed Manly all the way last week, with David Fifita again named to start, where he did indeed start on the bench last week. So Dez is stuck solid.
They've been improving, but the Warriors got embarrassed last week as well. So this is the wrong time to play the Warriors.
I agree.
You know, so this could get really ugly. It'll be tight, but only because, like, they're defending good, the Titans. They're turning up.
Do you want to hear the odds? The Warriors with the tab are $1.23. The Gold Coast are $4.20 underdogs, so they agree with you, Maze. Man. The line is 12.5. So do you think the Warriors are going to win 13+?
Yes.
You do?
Definitely.
So do I.
See New Zealand.
So do I.
The drums will be playing.
I have gone the Warriors a minus 12.5 and got that with my anytime try scorer. A nice solid one this week. I think there's going to be plenty of gaps. They get really fatigued. The Gold Coast Titans pushing back through the middle, Chance Nickel Klogstad through the middle.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I think they can strip him. He's a guy we talked about fullbacks before. He's really worked on his game at stripping outside defenders, maybe pushing back through the middle or out the back for some block shape. Where are we? Oh, the next one. Probably this is going to be one of the games of the round, I reckon. St. George Illawarra Dragons versus Sydney Roosters at Allianz Stadium. No changes to the side that did really well against the Warriors
Thursday
last week,
mate. This is Thursday. This is Anzac Day.
This is today.
It's a brutal game, man. I'm playing a couple of these.
Yeah, you did. After I read out the teams or the changes, tell us about the game. So no changes to the side for the Dragons. Jack Bird is back, but he's in the extended bench. So Zach Lomax keeps the center position. And Christian Tuipulotu was very good.
He's really good.
For the Roosters, Dom Young and Sam Walker return, mate. So you're going to get your opportunity to see that this week. Joseph Swali goes back to the centres for Dom Young.
Yep.
Michael Jennings drops to 18th man. Connor Watson goes back to the bench. And therefore, Zach Docker-Clay misses out. Tell us about Anzac Day, playing on Anzac Day. I only played once with you when we did the Manly Melbourne game.
Yeah, that was good. I was blessed to play with the Australian team against New Zealand. That was always crazy, right? It was always like
– How many of those did you play in, do you know?
Yeah, five, I think. Okay. Five, it was crazy. Now, those games were brutal, absolutely brutal. And it was like – it meant something, man. It was crazy. They played the last post, walk out together. It was intense. It's emotional. It's a really emotional game.
James Fish Harris has been calling that for the comeback in. So we got – the Kiwis have got something
and
to play
and you
for
know, like, yeah, in. it's an awesome thing because you play about eight games and then you get picked into that and then you play a couple and you're in Origin and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, that game means a lot for both countries.
What was it like going into that – obviously playing New Zealand, your focus on New Zealand with potentially – guys in Queensland that you knew you were going to go into battle with
in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Is that weird?
Nah, never. It was never
different
like
jersey
that.
Represented.
Different jersey. Yep. You're playing at the highest level, playing against New Zealand on Anzac Day, and it was just like, it was fucking unbelievable. Those games are some of the most memorable games I've played in.
Yeah.
We were playing in Joey's last test, I think BK's last test, so all Anzac tests.
Was that
05? 06. I never lost one, but it was
no blowouts. Never.
It was fucking just brutal the whole game.
I remember, I think we played this last year, but that GI, was it the GI try at the SCG?
That was a crazy one when he brought back to Gaz.
Those lineups were crazy.
Like, I mean, when we were playing, when those test teams that I got the chance to play, privilege to play with, fucking near unbeatable, man. Mm. Some of the plays that you go through, it was ridiculous.
What about your record with the Roosters against the Dragons?
No, I didn't win one.
Didn't you?
I don't think I won one, no.
Yeah, because Dragons went on a run because that was their strong period.
Yeah, they were really good 9 and 10, 8 and 9. So we used to wear the jersey that had they dyed the jersey's not
light blue,
full blue, so it's light blue because back then they didn't have enough money to make it dark blue.
Yeah,
that's the story behind that.
Okay,
right? So they give us a whole history on it. So I'm pretty sure that's it. That's why it's light blue, because it was cheaper and they didn't have enough money to make it dark blue.
Yeah, well,
so that's why we have the light blue. So, so that's going the out there, the jersey.
I like that jersey too.
It's a mad jersey. Yeah, they're awesome. I've still got a couple at home. They're really special. So, the Jets are flying over. You go out there, like, it's like you're playing at usually Allianz Stadium.
Yep.
Like the last post is playing. Yep. It's during the day. It's fucking 4 p.m. emotional. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, because you feel it, right?
Mm.
You get the old fellas out there, the old, you know, the guys that have, went to war. There's so much respect there, and to hear the stories, and it's just like, it's really emotional. Like, even if you don't have any relations, you know, that represented in the war or anything like that, it doesn't matter. You can just feel the spirit. The spirit is around, and these old diggers are there on the sidelines and stuff, and they're all, you know, they're slowly passing away. I think there's only maybe one or two left that are in World War II. You get out there and you know you represent more than just the Roosters. It's a fucking there's a whole lot going on. You don't really know what it is. You're just out there. That's why those games are brutal, man. They're brutal. It's going to be a nasty game, man. I reckon St. George will get them too.
Yeah. In 2015, we played in the one against Melbourne down there. And obviously they represent Anzac Day over the entire weekend, and they have the last poster of the game. But it's a different feeling when you're playing on the day.
On the day is different.
On the day,
because you think about the men that have died and everything, and just so we're here. So when you get that explained to you all week, it hits different.
And you like the Dragons, mate. You think the Dragons like get the Dragons, job done. Man. The Tab have the Dragons $2.50 underdogs. Yeah. The Roosters are $1.53. And the line is currently 5.5. Mace, I'm on the Roosters for a bounce back.
Yeah.
I've been super critical of them, obviously, this week. But I'm critical because they've got the talent. I believe they're more talented than the Dragons. And I'm expecting a rev up, and I'm expecting some emotion in this game.
Be brutal game.
I'm expecting a bounce back, and I like when Dom Young's back in the team. He had a bit of a brain snap against your Bulldogs.
You're nearly turning me back to the Roosters. Okay. I just know that St. George get up usually like fucking up for this game. I don't know what it is.
I think both teams are going to be up for it for sure. But when you also throw in the fact that the Roosters have been disappointing for the last couple of weeks,
Are they wearing the blue? Are they wearing those light blue jerseys?
I hope so. Yeah,
they're mad.
I love those.
I love the jerseys that all the teams come up with. They're pretty special.
Dragons did a number on them last year. I can remember Tyrell Sloane running
away. They seem to get up for this game a lot. It's crazy.
All right, so I'm going to go.
And they're playing good.
Yes, they are.
They'd be going into this game going, you know what, we're going to.
They'll be confident, mate.
Fucking get them.
They'll be confident for sure. I'm going to go the Roosters -5.5 though, and give me Joey Manu anytime.
Who's he going up against? Big Sully.
Moses Sully.
It's a hard one.
It is.
But they do make a couple of mistakes on that left edge. Defensively.
Yeah, defensively.
Because I can see him coming, shaking him a little bit. Ravalawa sliding out.
Well, you like
staying
it.
On his.
No, yeah, he's got Tuipulotu on his left.
Yeah, I know, but like, Tuipulotu, is it? No, what happened to Ravalawa?
Ravalawa's on the right with Lomax.
Fuck, they swapped it, eh?
Yeah. Well, remember when they swapped last year, probably confused you. Yeah. But Tuipulotu's coming on the left.
Him staying out.
If the ball stays in play for the Roosters and they play that power game, which we're talking about at the start of the game, keep it in play, early ball.
Fuck.
I think that's how we cross.
They get dominated in the ruck. That's not happening.
And the Dragons have been really good in the ruck. Yeah. So can't wait for this game.
Yeah,
I reckon it'll be a cracker. Last game, three games on Friday. Because the Melbourne Storm no longer have the Warriors, they've got the South Sydney Rabbitohs down at Amy Park at 7:50. So a cracking day of footy. Storm are unchanged. They've got Nelson starting again, but there was a late change with Christian Welsh going into the starting lineup last week.
I need that big man starting. Man.
You want Big Nell starting?
Yeah, I need him starting, especially in a game like this.
Yep. I think that might be the case as well with the power game. I think Welshy was more the conservative play against the Roosters, and then you bring Nelson off the bench. For the Rabbitohs, Damien Cook has been recalled with Peter Mamazoulas moving to the bench. Dry Arrow is named to return as well, whilst Cameron Murray has completed his concussion protocol, so he's good. The loss of Tevita Totola to a foot injury brings in Shaq Mitchell in the front row. He's been really good, actually.
He's been good defensively.
Yeah.
Really good.
I've been impressed with him this year.
Same. He's really upped his game.
And Jacob Gaygai, who made his debut
in round one,
he gets another shot because Tyrone Munro did his collarbone. The line for the Tab right now is 14.5. Wow, that's huge.
How disrespectful. I get it, but we're going for Melbourne as well.
Yeah, Melbourne are $1.20 favourites. The South Sydney Rabbitohs are $4.50 underdogs. The line is minus 14.5. I'll go first on this one, Mace. I'm going the Storm minus 14.5. I just got a feeling that they've had all these close games now. I don't think the bye has would have helped and fixed the issues that the South Sydney Rabbitohs currently have. Mm. I think they play the power game through the middle, and I think Hughes, Pappenhausen, Munster are too classy for them.
They look dangerous, man. They dominate the middle, then it'd be could be fucking nasty.
And speaking of Jerome Hughes, he's my anytime try scorer, $2.90. Yep. Scored first against the Roosters. Anytime there's broken play, look out for him.
Great try, that one too.
It was a good try. Do you think the South Sydney can keep it close, or do you think it's going to be 13 plus?
13 plus.
13 plus, Melbourne?
Yeah, down there. Start, be good. They always start. You're never going to just blow them off the field straight away.
No, you got to do the hard yards first. And dry arrows begin.
Melbourne is willing to do that shit. It's a team like that. They just don't stop. Just from the first minute to the 80th minute. Have a look at the Bulldogs. We thought we had them.
Mm.
What, 76 minute? Mm. Bang. Try.
You're not concerned that they've had all close games? Only 8 points is their biggest margin?
Yeah, so time they start, they'll put something together.
Yeah,
they usually do that.
The blowout?
They can fucking dust you up.
All right, sweet. I agree. The one game on Friday, and we talked about it earlier with my Levels Punters Club bet. Manly Seagulls are at home to Parramatta Eels, 8 p.m. at Four Pines. The Seagulls will welcome back Josh Alloway from suspension, pushing Matty Lodge to the bench. He had some good numbers in his first game back. Therefore, Aaron Woods moves to 18th man. Nathan Brown is also back, which moves Dean Madison, who didn't get that many minutes last week as well. As for the Eels, the young kid that everyone's been talking about, all the Para fans, everyone about him being unhappy and potentially moving on next year, Ethan Sanders will make his debut at 5'8".
Did he sign with Canberra or is that a rumour?
It's a rumour, but it's been a rumour that's been around for ages now. Right. So basically there's been some specific rule with younger kids that you can't sign too early. Okay. But apparently it was all but agreed. Mm. And the rumour has been that there was some unrest within Paracamp who wanted to keep him, obviously.
Yeah.
So this is why it's taken so long for his debut.
It's a good game.
We'll see now. All those Para fans that have been, you know, calling for him and, you know, telling Brad that he doesn't know how to coach. Let's see what the young kid's got. I'm excited to see him.
I can only imagine if Manly dust these blokes up.
Well,
what's going to happen like to Para?
Well, Micah Sivo has also been recalled to Mace. He replaces Sean Russell, who's been dropped. And there's three new names on the bench. We've got Kalma Tuolungi, Brendan catching those hands like Lukey So, and Makihisa Makatoa. They're on. Ryan Madison moves into the starting lineup with Blaise Lungi and Luca Moretti dropping to the reserves. If the lineup from last week is anything to judge the makeup of the team, Dylan Brown was playing right side with Ryan Madison, so Ethan Sanders could be opposite Big Hamole Olakau'atu for a debut. Do you think Brad changes Dill back over to the left?
Fucking I would, just for the sake of his mental fucking health.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's going to do or die for their season, but fuck, they need to win.
Pressure will start to build.
I know Manly and Para hate each other.
Hate each other.
And they will be going at it. And you got to get them, you know, Para's, they're in a bit of a lull.
Mm.
Manly's up here, so they'll be just trying to foot on throat mentality. You get Brownie in that back, ex-club, you know, a couple of little things later, he'll be going crazy. He'll be trying to go at Paulo. He'll be trying to go at Big Reg.
I'm trying to think of the game at Bankwest. I don't think Brownie stood out in that game. He didn't
but he's like he's
–
He was
good against the Roosters, was it?
Yeah,
was
a couple of weeks ago, like he got – he killed it. I think he's going to try and be fucking like
Penrith
that
was
again.
His really good game.
Because he knows he needs to – you know, you stop Reg, you stop Junior.
Yeah.
Go a long way there. Then you got to put the game in Ethan's hands.
Ethan Sanders.
Ethan
Let's
Sanders.
See what the kid's got.
Put the game in Ethan Sanders, you know, see what he's got. All right. What Brown's got.
Manly are $1.34. Parramatta are $3.30 with the tab. The line is 8.5. Do you think Parramatta can keep it within 8, mate?
No. No.
Neither do
they're
I.
They're not like defensively, it's not. It's they either win or they just get pumped.
Mm.
Not pumped, but I mean, like, it could be like a 32 to like 16 or something like that.
They always have high scoring games these.
Some like,
I think there's going to be a lot of points. Mm. I think Parramatta will just be. I think they'll keep it close, but maybe Manly score one at the death.
Mm.
Cover the 8. I like them covering the 8.5 as well. Right. And I've got Tommy Turbo. He loves playing Para. He always scores against Para. Always feel like he always scores against Para. All right, mate, let's get to the game on Saturday. Kicking us off on Saturday, it's a 5:30 start. The West Tigers are at home to the Brisbane Broncos, and it's at Campbelltown Stadium. The West Tigers will have a debutant as well, Solomon Alamolo. He is the rugby union player I was telling you about. Yeah. That's a bit of a hybrid winger, centre, fullback from the Waikato Chiefs. He's filling in for Junior Tupou, who hurt himself after scoring last week. Fanua Polo drops back to the bench. So John Bateman moves from back row to lock.
I like that.
And they've rewarded Samuel Afainu, who's been really good.
I like that, move.
Mm.
It's not going to help.
Still,
I'm just thinking the last couple of weeks I've been thinking with Brisbane, no Payne Haas, no Reynolds, Walsh has been out for a little bit. They might struggle. They haven't struggled a bit.
Well, guess what? They get Payne Haas back.
I know. Fuck.
They get Adam Reynolds back. They get Brendan Piakora back. But a couple of big outs. They lose Ezra Mam, my man, your man. Ezra's out. Selwyn Corbo's also going to miss it. So Jock Madden moves from half to six. And Dean Mariner, he is back on the wing also. So that's four big ins for him, moving Jesse Arthurs from the wing to the centres to cover Cobbo.
Yeah, they'll cover it all. They've got that they got that next man up mentality like Penrith.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be a problem. But it's still a good game. Like, I'm expecting West Tigers to keep it close. I don't think it's going to be a flogging.
West Tigers have shown a lot of fight this year.
Yeah.
It's another big game for them. I guess a lot of their fans would be similar where they might not necessarily believe that their team can win it, but they'd love to see some fight that they seen in the Penrith game last week.
You're seeing it.
It's a good gauge, West Tigers, to see what your future's like. You've had Penrith 1 week. You've fought all the way to about the 70-minute mark and they scored a couple of late tries against you. Now you're going to play the Broncos and they've got all their big dogs back, or they lose a couple, but their main big dogs are back. The tab have got West Tigers $4.10. The Broncos are $1.24, mate. The line is 11.5. So do you think the Broncos will beat them 13-plus as well, basically?
Fuck. Yeah, I think so.
Same.
Yeah, just a couple of late tries. I think it'll be tight most of the game and then they'll just end up running away with just too much quality.
I'm with you, mate. I've gone the Broncos minus 11.5 and I like Tony Staggs anytime. He's my anytime try scorer.
I like Stefano versus Payne Haas
too. Yes.
You know, I think he's been taking some heads, big Stefano.
Yeah.
There's not many forwards that have got it over him this year.
He was quiet last week, but
still, like, he still didn't get dominated. He hasn't been getting pumped.
No.
Like, but he's taken every single prop on. He's been taking it personal. I think he's been one of the best young props in the game.
I reckon Stefano probably has had the hardest run I can feel now. Like, of he's taken on some
everyone.
He's taken on
everybody.
They played the Raiders. They play the Raiders?
They play the Raiders, Lukey? Yeah, I don't know. He's played all the big dogs.
Feels like they've played the Raiders. Yeah, they played the Raiders second game. Yeah, their first game,
big
right?
Papa and Tarp,
so had Papa and Tarps. He's taken on Reggie and Junior.
Yeah.
He's taken on the Sharks pack.
Mm.
Now, that obviously got the points on them. He took on Penrith last week.
Yeah.
I think if he plays well in this game with Payne, they could be the two starting front rowers for the New South Wales Blues. What do you reckon?
Well, I like him. I think he's been one of our best players.
Yep. All right, mate, let's move on to the second game of Saturday. We've got the North Queensland Cowboys at home to the Penrith Panthers, 7:35 at Queensland Country Bank Stadium. So for the Cowboys, we talked about it. You asked for it. Griffin Neame, he's starting.
Yeah,
therefore, Jason Tomalolo goes back to the bench. Jack Jaceski is out of the 17. And for all those people in our comments that have been calling for Thomas McKayley and myself.
Yeah, I saw that.
I'm really intrigued to see how he goes. I think he's going to go well. So Thomas McKayley, and it's a really big test, obviously, the Penrith Panthers forward pack. As for the Panthers, pretty good player returns as well. Nathan Cleary, he is back, which means Snyder drops out. Taylor May also retakes his place. Therefore, Paul Alamotti drops out.
I think this will be closer than you think.
Yeah.
I think the Cowboys would be like, all right, here we go. Come on. Let's just try, you know, they'll be confident they can try and win this game, obviously, up there. They've got, you know, I don't think they will, to be honest, because of Cleary's back and they're just Penrith. But, like, Griffith Neame starting, Taumalolo going back to the bench, McKayley coming in. I still don't think they have the fucking power to get there.
All right.
I don't know. Like, what do you think? I don't like it.
The tab have North Queensland $3.40, Penrith $1.32. The line
it'll be an
is
ugly game. It'll be an
nine
ugly game
and a half. So can they keep it within 10
yeah,
points?
I think so. I think this will be a real defensive orientated game for the Cowboys. They've been very fucking awful, mate.
I'm Panthers minus 9.5. I feel like Cowboys now have tricked me. They've got to the point now where
a lot.
You know, at the start of the year when I gave up on the Gold Coast Titans, remember we're talking the Titans, and I said the Titans have tricked me now for a couple of years with their roster, and I expect better. But maybe they're just not that team.
Yeah.
Now, I could get egg on my face if they come out and put on a good performance against the back-to-back-to-back champions, but I might be giving up on the Cowboys. I'm close.
I'm close.
Because I feel like the answers are obvious to watch and there should be solutions for what they're doing, but for whatever reason, they're just not doing it, so maybe they're not that team. And on the flip side, I know Penrith are that team.
I feel like Griffith Neame and McLean are like 6'5". There's a lot of real estate to hit when you're Mitch Kenny, Leota, and Fisher Harris.
So you're going to jump
I mean, I just
think. Come back to Panthers 9.5 with me?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I just think defensively they're just going to be on song, Penrith, and they'll be looking to fucking really have a crack at them.
Mm. Yeah, they always go well against Cowboys too. Yeah. I think they pumped them in the last round last year.
They don't fear them at all.
No.
They don't fear many teams, but they don't fear. They don't fear.
Yeah. I think they enjoy playing the Cowboys, put it that way. All right, mate. I've basically taken all the favourites, but this is where I'll be changing. I've been getting nice and early on you. The Dolphins taking on the Newcastle Knights on Sunday at 2 p.m. at Suncorp Stadium. Dolphins were outstanding last week. Yeah. Kurt Donoghue returns. Therefore, Sean O'Sullivan is the only change. As for the Knights, with no Calen Ponga, David Armstrong will make his debut.
KP.
Dane Gagai. Frank,
jeez.
Dane Gago returns. Jed Cartwright takes the bench of Jack Hetherington.
Jackie.
I told you to get a game. You had to get a game.
I know. I was just trying to get him going. I spoke to KP the other day. Like, I've had a Liz Frank back in 2004, 20 years ago, right? And it is the fucking worst foot injury you can have.
Yeah, really.
And I was shattered for him, mate.
The
medical system has come a long way in 20 years. Like, they just clamp it right on in between your big toe and little and your second toe. It's right in the middle there. A little bit of history on Liz Frank, why it's called Liz Frank. So back in the Napoleonic Wars, right?
Wow.
They used to shoot. That's
a throwback.
Yeah. They used to shoot you off your horse, right? And your foot gets caught. See how he got caught there and someone fell on the back of his on his heel sort of thing? They
get caught in the saddle.
Gets caught in the saddle. You shot off your horse. Bang. They used to amputate your leg. Dr. Liz Frank used to do it. Not shooting you.
That is some good information.
That Dr. Liz Frank used to amputate your leg back in the day. That's how bad your
Whenever
foot
you're
was.
Playing trivia at home and you want to go to a Calen Ponga fucking Napoleonic
Wars.
There you go.
1800s.
That's where you get your Liz Frank from, baby.
That's where Dr. Liz Frank used to cut your foot off.
That's mad. That's so good.
That's what he's got now. And I spoke to him. I said, look, just take your time, big man. Yep. Take your time. But when I come back, it was like I was 24 years old. I was in my prime, you know what I mean? There was doubts that I could ever come back.
They said it's a 12-week injury, or do you think it's going to be more?
Fucking longer than that, mate.
Do you think he should sit the season? Is that your advice?
I would sit him out. I said, take your time coming back. Me coming back, straight line run, a little bit of a late footwork sometimes. I couldn't even get that in.
Well.
Let him coming back.
Yeah.
That's bang, his bread and butter. That's his bread and butter, mate. Mm. He's not getting the line, just running straight.
Mm.
Like, he needs to be moving like he moves to do anything.
Yep.
So if the Knights are in no shape or form near the eight,
they're not going to
sit him out for the year.
Yeah.
Take care like of him, because he's your future of the club and you need him back for next year, and then you build from there. But if you're
that's going to be tough for everyone involved in the
Knights. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough, man. It's going to be tough. Oh, he's on 1.2. It's 12 weeks. It's bullshit.
Yeah.
It's a fucking 6-month injury.
No, as in for everyone that's involved, because I can't envision that the Knights are a better team, obviously, without Calen Ponga.
Fuck, mate, they won't make the eight at all without him.
So the coaching staff, the players.
Everyone's under the pump. Yeah. Everybody's under the pump now. Everyone's gonna have to go up another level. But as I said, like that whole spine has to be fuck all without KP, and he's not there.
So the tab have the Dolphins $1.43 favorites, $2.85 underdogs the Knights, 7.5 is the line.
Yeah. Dolphins.
I'm on the Knights.
Yeah.
I'm on the Knights. Still I think the Knights can upset
pack,
them. Man.
If the forward pack still is one of the premier forward packs in the game. They're just not playing that well.
The forward pack was super disappointing last week against your Bulldogs, who were undersized and undermanned, and they've been undermanned all year. I think
I want some Leo Thompson fucking – I need him and the Saifidi brothers and like Elliot and these guys like bashing the door down. Yeah. Don't worry about like fucking Hastings going, giving you – get the ball here and then passing you the ball. Fuck off out of my way.
I think opposite.
Give me the ball.
I think Jackson Hastings is going to, now that Kalen's out.
Yeah, I get it. I know sometimes he needs to run the ship. But if I'm a front row and I'm a healer, I don't need a fucking halfback giving me a little tip.
Unless you're getting me
at the three or four man.
Yeah.
Not just a little tip there.
Quick tip from the middle of the field to get
Leo Thompson, bang the front door down. Saifidi, bang it down. Sort your shit out with Phoenix Crossland and the nine. Like, you can't have too many little fellas down
there. Braley's in there.
Well, he's coming off the bench, Phoenix, and he's playing middle. You know, like what happens with Cogger? Like, fuck, man, they need to sort that shit out, especially now.
Yeah, I've sneaky suspicion.
The Dolphins should get him.
Yeah,
but who knows? I still rate the Knights. I just fuck without Caelan Ponga, mate. He's their man.
Yep. All right, mate. The last game is the Canberra Raiders versus Cronulla Sharks, 4:05 PM at GIO Stadium.
This will be a game.
Fogarty's out, obviously, with the bicep. So KO Weeks does indeed get his opportunity to see if he can play seven long term for the club, because I can't imagine. Oh, Jamal Fogarty's probably going to be thereabouts for a while. As for the back row, Simi Sasangi is named to start in the second row after being a late addition to the run-on side because they had named Atta Mariotta last week. As for the Sharks, no Braden Trindle. He's not selected. So Daniel Atkinson will partner Nicho Hynes, whilst Sione Katoa returns from his HIA. For some suspension. And the rookie who scored on debut, Sam Strange Street, he is out.
It's going to be a hard game, man. It's going to be a hard game because we all know what Ricky Stewart's like. He's very intense, and they got embarrassed last week against Brisbane, and I doubt that's going to happen again. I think Cronulla might just get him in a real close one. No Braden Trindle. That's a big loss. He's been playing well.
Yep, I agree.
Jeez. Yeah.
Canberra, $2.75 underdogs, $1.45 Cronulla. The line is 6.5, and this is normally the price.
Canberra's underdogs.
Yeah,
this is, they love this shit.
Normally, I love taking the Canberra in this position.
This is where the fuck him comes up.
I am.
And Cronulla's his old team.
Yes.
Very personal for Ricky.
All right. By the way, too, I forgot my try scorers in the Penrith game. I'm on Dylan Edwards and I'm on Bradman Best in the Knights versus Dolphins game. As for this game, I'm on the Sharks -6.5. I'm just super impressed with the Sharks.
So am I.
I think they'll pump up for Dal Finucane. Hopefully, they sprint out like Dal Finucane, like he does in memory of
Imagine
him.
Imagine if his last game does his hammy.
No, he's done. It's immediate.
Immediate release.
They should let him.
I mean, immediate retire. Oh, fuck. I thought he was going to do that. Oh, wow.
They should name him 18th man and let him sprint out with the team with the bib on.
The mascot.
And just fucking one last.
Come out as the Shark. And then take his fucking thing off. And
yes.
Finucane.
Fuck, that would be all time. Honestly, and I think the Sharks will pump
That's
up.
That's the only running I used to have with him at the scrums when he was at the Dogs. I'm like, Finucane. I said, has anyone ever said that to you? Like, remember Street Fighter?
Yeah,
and he just started fucking laughing. No, but I said this.
He goes,
walking to the scrum. I said, you know, remember Street Fighter? Finucane. And he's just like, fuck off, please, man. Anyway.
Willie Mason's talked to me about Street Fighter. He would have gone home and told his parents and that, I reckon.
I've got to go Cronulla.
Yeah.
They're just playing too good.
Yeah, I'm on Cronulla -6.5 as well, and I'm Britton Nicola, anytime try scorer. I think he's going to be in and around Ethan Strange or KO Weeks, whoever defends on that left edge. And he's been good without normally scoring a whole heap of tries. Mate, let me just let everyone know, what are you really gambling with? And for free and confidential support, call 1-800-858-858. Mace, enjoy your long weekend. We're going to be linking up on Friday at Hunter Valley for the golf day with the boys up at Ridges for the Red Nose Charity Golf Day. Looking forward to that. Then hitting up Lukey's fight on Saturday, so a jam-packed weekend. Everyone enjoy their footy. Enjoy your boxing. Enjoy your golf.
Enjoy your footy.
We'll see you on Monday for the review.